Yes, welcome to our pre-show. And I was just looking at some email. That's why I'm, because I have to find the email for the orangutan function that I'm going to be hosting, or that I'm going to be co-hosting. I got to find Gary Shapiro's. There it is. Yay. Is this it? Yes, this is it. This is awesome. Okay, good, Gary. Thank you very much, man. Let's see what we got here. Oh, that's it, yeah. What's with the highlighted shit? Oh, okay. I hope this is it. That's a week from Saturday. I'm going to really have to bone up, man. God damn, is it fucking hot. So I was going to do a fill only, and then and by the way, the pre-show, we did a pre-show, and I have not seen the audio track of our pre-show from yesterday's show on the site. And now maybe the guys saw my email and have since posted it. I don't know. You guys are seeing this a full 24 hours after me. Fourth annual. All right. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, listen. So we'll do this at the top of the show, but the event is the fourth annual Pongo Environmental Awards and Benefit for Orangutans. Sponsored by the Orangutan Republic Foundation. It's going to be October the 7th. It starts at 5 at a private residence in Pasadena. If you'd like to purchase tickets, go to this URL. Go to this link, www.OURF2017annualevent.eventbrite.com. Again, www.OURF2017annualevent, all of that together, .eventbrite, bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E, .com. Is that good enough, or is... You got to make the URL a little bit simpler than that. So there will be, you can purchase tickets there. There's going to be a silent auction between 5:30 and 8, live auction during the presentation. For Pongo, Gary Shapiro is the president of the Orangutan Republic Foundation. For Pongo Environmental Awards, one to the Rainforest Action Network, one to Dr. Cheryl Knott, one to Carnegie Airborne Observatory, and Fisher Stevens, director of the film Before the Flood. Live music by Honey Pig, live Indonesian dancing, delicious vegan food, talented co-MC, oh, look at this, talented co-MCs Phil Henry and Ed Begley Jr. Yeah! All right, so if you guys can make it, that's cruel. I mean, that's cool. I was going to say it's cool and groovy, and it came out cruel and coovy. All right, so I got my shit together, man. I got my thing. I got my thing down. So I was going to do a fill only because people like them. You may not, and I don't blame you if you don't, but on the... Overall, we get positive feedback on those. And I think it's because it's like my old producer, Rob Pendleton, used to say in Minnesota, Minneapolis, he said, let the audience up for air. Meaning you bury their head in a comedy trough and they don't know who you are. So, I don't know. I was reading some stuff about the... I'm fascinated with the Mutiny on the Bounty. I have been for 35 years. I've read everything I could get my hands on. I've read log books. I read the transcript to the trial of the mutineers back in England. I read about Pitcairn's Island, the society that was, you know, formed there when the mutineers landed there. I know a lot about the personal lives of the various crewmen. John Norton, the man who was killed on Tofua, he was one of the men who was cast adrift. John Norton, young, he was in his 30s, 31, 32 years of age, and was killed as he went to unfasten the line that held the bounty launch to the beach where the men had gone to forage for food and water. And as he went back to unfasten that line, he was set upon by natives that were on the beach, had been watching these guys from a distance, and he was killed. And he lived with his mother. You know, he was a single man, lived with mom. Can't imagine what, anytime a parent, you know, we think about it in contemporary times, but it's been going on for years, hasn't it? It's been going on for centuries. A parent hearing about the death of a child in battle or in a war. Or anyway. Do you ever do something like this? You read about, like, I read a date in William Bly's, I read William Bly's logbook too. From the time they left Portsmouth to the time they landed in Timor after they'd been set adrift, and he navigated this open launch 47 days to Timor and to safety, even though he'd lost a couple of guys to fever, some kind of, might have been pneumonia, I don't know. But at one point in that journey, he wrote in his logbook, it was really powerful. It was like, yesterday was the worst day that any human being could have possibly lived through and survived. He said, my crew, we lived it. We lived it. They had been in a hellacious storm. It's 18 people jammed into a launch of 20 feet, fighting for their lives, fighting to keep this thing afloat, freezing their fucking asses off. You know, you can well imagine. Anyway, I read this entry, and here is a point in history. It's a major point in history, because this is about the mutiny of the Bounty, one of the most famous mutinies that ever took place. And perhaps it's well known to us, not because it was significant geopolitically, but as a story of familial influence. Fletcher Christian's brother was very well known in England and had access to various news agencies and was able to propagandize this event in his brother's favor. He turned his brother Fletcher into a hero. His brother Fletcher set 18 men adrift with one week's worth of food and water. You call that guy a hero? He said 18 men adrift in the middle of the South Pacific. 1 week's worth of food and water. If he had such a grievance, he could have put them in irons and taken them back to England and delivered them over to the Admiralty for court-martial. But he didn't do that. He consigned them to slow death. That's not a hero. That's a motherfucker. But history was not kind to William Bly until very, very recently. Until, I'd say, within the last 30, 40 years, has the story come out, the true story of what happened. But on that day that I read in his logbook, where he said, we went through the worst day anybody, anywhere, could have lived through and survived, I thought, I wonder what else was going on in the world, right? On that day, you know, that. And so I looked up that date in history. And the United States had been established one of the very earliest days of our Congress, and we were fighting over some bullshit. You know, on that day, they were in Congress fighting over some shit about a stamp tax and something else, something else. You know, some artist was born. So it's fascinating to me that life goes on everywhere. It doesn't matter what is happening. There are other places and really other other places and other moments in time, or at the same moment in time, where life is a complete opposite, you know, where it's tranquil, it's peaceful, you know, where it's the best day that somebody's having. And somewhere on the other side of the globe, or maybe not even on the other side of the globe, maybe it's down the street, somebody's having a bad fucking day, you know? I wish I had another cup of coffee. I wish I had another cup of coffee. God, that was the best goddamn cup of coffee. But I don't. And so I don't. And so I won't. La ta da da ti. Do 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 do. Something in the night looked a lot like you do. We'd be sharing lust before the night was through. Something in your, something in her slacks. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute, man. Hey, man, how do I know this shit's downloaded, Jack? Huh? Hey, Jack. Man, let me check this out. Told me I must have you, strangers in the night.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way.
You fucking liar, man. You lie. All right. Something I noticed from yesterday's show, I didn't have the compressor on our master. Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It's a very slight difference of volume. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. See, the limiter is on, but the compressor wasn't on. Therefore, we had limiting, but not compression. Now we have compression. Right? Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Auto. Autoerotic, it's fixed. Autoerotic asphyxiation. Puerto Ricans struggle for food and water. Meanwhile, President Trump has a nice big rack of ribs that he's enjoying this evening. I'm fucking around. Sorry. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your... Because I need a job. With ZipRecruiter, you can post it all up your ass. Something in her slacks was so inviting. Something in your house was so exciting. Something told me that I think I'd rather not. All right. Honey Pig. What's that supposed to mean? We'll name our band's Honey Pig. Yeah, so what does that mean? I don't know. You name your fucking band Honey Pig and you... you name your band Honey Pig and you don't know why? I mean, better go out there and take a poll there among your bandmates and find out why you named your band Honey Pig. I will not have you in my home. Hey, this thing's going to be at a private residence in Pasadena. I can only get... It probably is bitching. I bet you it's fucking awesome. Probably a very, very nice place. Yes, sir. Yeah, sir. We used to do that. Marie and I, we had a house in Westlake Village. We had functions there. You know. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm not that kind of a guy. Not that I, you know, maybe I am. I don't know, but I didn't enjoy that at all. I'd have to get away, you know, I have to leave, and then people are looking for you. Where's Phil? Hi. Oh, what happened to you? Oh, just I was taking care of some things. Okay. Man of Puerto Rico got their ass kicked. Fucking roofs ripped off. Fucking no water. Fucked up, man. Man, your Jordans are fucked up. Wow. Who the fuck is that guy? Hey, man, how come my goddamn TVs are not syncing up? What the fuck is this shit? What? They got Philip Levine on here. Oh, I see what's going on. Somehow, this one TV is lagging way behind. And I know that there's differences in terms of the satellite, but the same channel? Like right now. See? See? It's wrong, man. Mayor Philip Levine of Miami. Almost half of Puerto Rico without water, almost all without power. When I was in Miami, man, I met a lot of folks from Puerto Rico. A lot of people from Puerto Rico. And loved them. I worked with a lot of cats. You know, in Miami, of course, you've got a lot of people from the Caribbean who are either working temporary green card status or are American citizens with family in the Caribbean, born here, but family back in, I mean, Aruba, you know, Trinidad, Tobago, Jamaica. And then you have American citizens of the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. That's the thing about Miami that I dug so much. It's such an international city. And you know, port cities, coastal cities are like that. That's where the world is coming in to meet you, and you're going out to meet the world, and all kinds of fucking cool shit's going on, you know? You know what? Don't move to a coastal city and think it's going to be fucking beans and franks in middle America, man. Forget it. It's going to be America. That's for goddamn sure. But it's a different, it's the kind of America I like. Yeah, everybody's an immigrant. You know, if you don't like people, don't fucking come to a coastal city. If you hate people, and believe me, if you only like white, and I'm not talking to you guys directly, I'm just saying in general, you know, if you only like white people, you hate people. I like my race. No, you fucking hate people. You probably hate white people too. So, don't bring that mess in here. You know, don't bring that mess in here. Wow. Okay, what are we doing, man? Oh, fuck. Jesus H. Christ. What are we going to do with this motherfucker tonight? 17 fuck. So, you may be wondering, you know, what's going on with Marie and I? Well, the same old shit. Same old shit. Yeah, she's... Look, you know, she's in the middle of something. I've gone through it 3 times. I lost my father, my mother, and my brother. I am intimately familiar. Intimately familiar. With the passing of people that you love very, very much. The slow passing. Not the instantaneous. Now, I'm not saying one is better than the other, or one is makes you a better person, one makes you less. I'm not saying any of that shit. I'm just saying, when they go slow, Jack, you're kind of going slow too. So I know, believe me, I know. And what I do know is that the world does not stop spinning. It keeps on fucking going out there, man, and they don't give a shit. Let me just tell you, the existential reality. And if you get this, you'll always be ahead of the game. Nobody gives a shit, man. Now, you can say that they're not Christian. What do you want, reality, or do you want a fairy tale? You can say that they're not nice. Frankly, the reality is this. They probably are very, very nice. They just are not fixated on your shit. You are. I am. I'm fixated on my shit. That's the way it ought to be. But other people don't give a fuck. Unless, of course, they're very, very tight friends of yours. Now, if you were to stop on the street and tell them your story and they had time to hear it, maybe they would start to get invested in a little bit. Well, shit, I didn't know that. Really? Wow, fuck. Let me help you, you know. That's because people are like that when they have a connection to something like that, you know. But the world isn't going to stop, and people are not going to stop behaving the way they behave. And that's probably the cruelest moment in life is when something, you know, devastating happens to you personally. And the world just continues to bump into you the same way that it did yesterday, man, before the bad shit happened. And you go, wow, you know, look at this shithole of a world all of a sudden. You're not very much of a fan of it because it's not seeing me. Of course it isn't, you know. So I'm not in that camp. You know, I know what she's going through. The thing that I really resented was that I don't even mind the fact that she had to change plans. That's not it. I understand. You know, I finally was texting with her, and she said to me, well, you know, my mother was up and down, back and forth. Okay. And I wasn't sure it was changing day by day. I said, I understand that. I said, but that wasn't what you told me. I mean, I only know what you tell me. What you told me was, oh, I got another ride. Turns out she didn't have a ride. She rented a car. And she didn't want to put me through, quote, 10 hours of driving. Well, no, that wasn't the case at all. 8 o'clock on Thursday night, she decides that she doesn't need a ride back to L.A. And that ain't her all of a sudden saying, wow, I don't need, you know, I don't need the 10-hour Phil to come here because, gee, it now occurred to me that it's going to be a really rough night for him. No, that's her deciding to drive herself home because other factors have entered into it. Whatever they are, I don't know. I don't really, you know, care that much. You don't tell me. The wrong thing to say to me, and I suspect a lot of people, is, you know what, I decided to change plans. Why? Because it would be better for you. What? What? What are you talking about? What do you mean it'll be better for me? You know how you are. You know. Who the fuck is this woman he's talking to, man? Now I gotta hear. Who is this?
On the highways, you see hundreds of cars that are stalled because they ran out of gas. They literally ran out of gas trying to get to San Juan, where they know that there are a lot of gas stations open.
These look like two affluent residents of. Finally found my fucking watch. This the gold watch I couldn't find. It was laying underneath a pillow. One thing I have lost is the goddamn channel changer to the TV up in the office. I can't find it. Boy, that really pissed me off. That really fucking pissed me off. Where the fuck is the channel changer? How does a guy lose a fucking channel changer? And I'm looking everywhere for this fucking thing. Forget it. I can't find it. It's insane, man. Let's see. Oh, God damn it. What was the song she was going to... Oh, yeah. Okay. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love. I've seen faces. Man, I don't know if I'm going to find this. Here we go. Come on, motherfucker. Shut your fucking hole. From Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since mom. Oh, that's too high.
Goodbye to you, I've traveled the world to learn I'm a return from Russia with love.
I've seen, all right, Margaret,
places.
I don't know, man, this is gonna be really hard to do.
In case you say no.
Jesus Christ. All right, man. Mm. Wait a minute, dude. Wait. No, motherfucker. Where is it? Fuck it. Russia with love. Memoro. Karaoke. Fuck, what a fucking hassle. Just, all right, that's done. Okay. Oh, man. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey, or click on the survey banner on podcast1.com.
Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and all of the voices that you're about to hear on this show here are performed by me. Oh, wait. Wait, I gotta do something else. Yeah. Are you hiring? Did you know where to post your job to find the best candidate, huh? Are you hiring? Well, hey, Thunder.